Well, hey everybody, it's Donna Partow, and I want to welcome you to day 16 of Make This Your Best Year Ever. We are into week three. We have separated the men from the boys and the women from the girls, and we found out how many are the people who are like, well, you know, I'm going to have my best year ever, and that determination lasts for about a week. And I'm going to have my best year ever, and the determination lasts for about 2 weeks. Now we've got the real peeps. We've got the people who are like, hey, I'm serious about this. I've made it to the end. Yeah, I've made it to week three, and I'm still on task and on target. And if that's you, A plus, and you really are going to make it your best year ever. You've beat all the odds. You've left the rest of the people in the dust, and you are in it to win it. So yay you. Awesome job. God, I definitely need your help today. I taught twice yesterday, and in between teaching the entire day, I was on the phone with Apple, and my audio came back, and they blew out all of my passwords. So I've spent the morning back on the phone with Apple dealing with my password drama, and the enemy just loves to come against me with frustration because I take the bait. And that's actually what we're going to talk about today, how until you learn to respond differently, God himself is actually going to let things keep happening until you learn to respond differently. This is a test. This is only a test. So God, I definitely for sure need your help. So we need the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, you've been so faithful. You've been so present and so near. And I ask you to do it one more time. Would you do it again today? Would you come and speak through me? Would you come and teach all God's children the life lessons and the strategies that they need to really seriously, no, for real, make this their best year ever, and really a pivotal, a standing stone that they will write in the front of their Bible as a standing stone this January, these 3 weeks of really doing business with God, that it would be a standing stone, that it would become a memorial. That's how significant. Why did people put up standing stones? Usually because they encountered God. So would you encounter your people? Would you encounter them now in this hour over the internet? Lord, would you be bigger than the one who wants to come and distract and exhaust and disrupt and technology and all the nonsense? Would you just be bigger? Thank you. Because I know that you are faithful. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you so much. Okay, ladies and gentle people, we are moving onward today. We are on day 16. Remember the basics. Remember to ask, you know, why is this just perfect? Why, whatever's happening, I mean, this is just perfect. Because either something good is happening, something good's going to come out of it one way or another. God is on assignment. God hasn't walked off the job. He's fully engaged and fully committed to your transformation in all things. We know that we know. We don't guess. We don't hope. We know that all things work together for good. Somehow, some way, somehow. For those of us who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's all of us. So look for the good. How is God's goodness showing up in any situation? And then your new question. You've got it on your smartphone, whatever you've done. You're keeping that ever before you. Just a quick recap. Step one, you got to have a vision. So proud of you. Even this morning, people are still posting up their vision board. Super important. Get it done. Don't tell yourself, oh, well, you know, I should have done it week one and now it's week three. It doesn't matter. Most people never do it ever. So if you do it in week three, you're probably in the top 1% of the world's population of 7 billion people, whatever it is now. So go you. Get it done today. Plan based on your priorities. Create a measuring system because what gets measured improves. What gets tracked stays on track. And what you don't track, guess what? It doesn't stay on track. It goes off the rails. Next thing you know, you're in the ditch, wondering what happened to this year. Establish accountability. Have you found an accountability partner? Somebody said they just found a walking partner. Awesome. Monitor your milestones. Celebrate your achievements. Someone asked me, well, how often can I celebrate? You can celebrate as often as you like. You can have little mini celebrations every day. The end of every day, give yourself some little celebration. Once a week. I wouldn't go more than 2 weeks without celebrating. Certainly once a month, you better have a pretty good celebration. And the celebration should match the achievement. Impart your gifts. Yes, you have them. Open the box. Open your eyes. God has given you wonderful gifts, and He wants you to share them with the world. I resolve. Write this first thing every morning. Pen hits the feet hit the floor. Butt hits the prayer place. Pen hits the paper. Have we got it? Feet hit the floor. Butt hits the prayer place. Or knees hit the prayer place. Pen hits the paper. And the first thing we do, I resolve to partner with God to make this my best year ever by doing what? Where? When? How often? So that I can accomplish what? It's going to take you 2 minutes. It's going to change your life. First thing you do, pen to paper. Write it out. Write it out. Write it out. Get it ingrained, hardwired into your brain. Your brain looks for what you tell it to look for. Your brain finds answers to the questions you're posing. So here's a great new question that's going to be posing to your brain. How am I going to get all this done? Where are the resources? And God will show us, and God will bring it. Today we're going to look at the unescapables or the inescapables, whichever, same thing. The unescapables, the things we cannot escape. You cannot bind the Father in the name of Jesus. Right? The Father is about the business of pruning you, lopping off branches. You can't bind the Father in the name of Jesus. Well, I bind you. God's like, really? You're binding me? Because I'm the one with a chainsaw here lopping off this dead branch. Okay? So it's not going to work. They're going to turn my son against me. I'm working on your character over here. You can't bind that. You can't bind this. Someone is going to be singing that for the rest of your life. You can't bind that. Rebuking the devil won't help when God is the one at work. Hello? A lot of you are rebuking the devil. Binding the devil. Surprise! God's like, surprise! It's me! It's me! It's me, oh child, working on your character. Is that the devil? Sometimes it's the devil, but a lot of times, God. The Bible says God opposes the proud. And if you've been in any class with me for any amount of time, and if you've not taken the special blessings prayer yet, need to take that class, and you will be very astonished to discover that pretty much every problem in every person's life, if you track it down far enough, comes back to the sin of pride. And as long as pride is operating in your life, God is operating in your life. And He's opposing you. He'll block you. He'll confound you. He'll deal with you because He loves you. And he's trying to root that thing out and kill it. We've got a possum right now. So we've got this guy who's trying to, don't worry. The opossum is going to be taken to a better life elsewhere. We're not going to kill him. So we set up the trap, just set it up this morning, get a big trap for the opossum. And, you know, he's going to live, but he's not going to live here anymore. We're done with it. He needs to go. Bye-bye. Because he smells and destroys everything. God's trying to trap that pride. Now that one, He's going to kill. He's going to crush. And we really need to come into balance. I've done it. I've done this. I rebuke you, Satan. And finally, God's like, yeah, it's not him. That was all me. I'm doing all that. Wow. Shockeroo. Someone right now is in shock. You're like, your mouth is open. Good. This hour is for you. This is a long passage, but God's word is the most fun. So the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up. Right now, he's lost half the class. Amen. Hallelujah. Get up and go. The command of God is always get up and go. get up and go. There's an assignment for all of us. Get up and go. Now, hopefully you're kneeling, you're sitting and praying when you get this message. Get up and go. God wants you to do this. Start here. This is step one. Get up and go where he sends you. Because there's no such thing as someone in the family of God who's just sitting there marking time, not ever doing anything. I mean, God has a purpose and a plan and a destiny for all of his children, for all of us. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I've seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up. He got up all right and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket, went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord. By sailing to Tarshish. Ever tried to escape from God or something God is trying to do? See, we're here, we're enrolled in a Christian class. You probably have not lately tried to escape from God. But probably all of us right now in some way are trying to escape from something God is trying to do in our character. But there's no escaping, because God loves you so much. He is determined to transform you more and more into the image of his son. And he's going to have to bring some stuff, some chainsaws in the form of people in situations that we don't like. But the Lord, hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Who did that? Was that the devil? We rebuke you, Satan. Would that have helped? I bind you. Would that have solved this? No, because it was God. Wow, I might be messing with someone's theology right now. But fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help, threw the cargo overboard to lighten the load. You know, that's us. We're trying everything that we can think of here. We're rebuking the devil. We're throwing people out of our lives. Okay, I'll say it again. We're rebuking the devil. We're throwing people out of our lives. We're leaving jobs. We're moving to another town. All this time, Jonah was asleep down in the hold. See, some of us are asleep at the wheel. We're sleepwalking through life. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? I was a sleeper. I admitted that. I used to sleep 12, 14 hours a day. My life was just too painful. Couldn't face it. You know what? I'm out. I'm checking out. I'm sleeping. And even when I was awake, I was in my zombie mode. And there really is, I believe, like a spirit of stupor that comes upon people. And you're just like, you're awake, but you're not awake. You're sleepwalking through your life. This is for somebody. And that is not God. God's not putting anybody into a stupor. Now, that one I would rebuke, because that's not God. He shouted, guess what he says? Get up. See, God sends confirmation. Watch for confirmation. That's one way you know it's God. God says, get up. You're like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to take a nap. And then someone else says, you know, get up. Confirmation. Pray to your God. You know you're in trouble when heathens are suggesting maybe you should pray, right? Have you been to, maybe you need to get back in those classes. What were those classes you were doing? I think you maybe need to get back to that. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. It's funny because the heathens had a better spiritual sense of what was going on than God's child did. Yeah. They were more in tune, and they're not even believers. They're not even children of God. And yet they could look at this person's life. I mean, some of us, it is so obvious that God is trying to get our attention. It is so obvious that we're going in the wrong direction, that people don't need a PhD in theology. They don't need to be filled with the Spirit. It could just be your secular boss. Even he can see, you know, your life isn't working right now. You seem to be going in the wrong direction. When it gets to that point, it's time to notice. God is after something in you. And the higher the call of God in your life, the more pruning and character development he's going to do. I know you're like, Donna, we like some of your other messages more than this one. I'm telling you this because I've lived it. There's a high call in your life, then there's a high level of spiritual warfare. And that includes what the enemy's doing, but it also includes God warring for your character and contending with you to determine if you're really all in and in it to win it and willing to cooperate with him as he tries to transform your character and really bring you to that place where you can do what he's designed you to do. So the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. And when they did this, even though they're not Christians, somehow they've got it right. Don't tell yourself that because someone's not a Christian, that God's not communicating to you through them and showing you things about yourself through that person. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Who are you? Here's some questions. Yesterday we talked about questions. Who are you? What's your line of work? What country are you from? What's your nationality? They're asking some good questions here. Jonah answered, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. He's starting to get it. The sailors are terrified when they heard this. He already told them he was running away from the Lord. Oh, why did you do it? They groaned. There's a great question. Now the Lord, who? Satan? Did Satan arrange for a great fish? Did Satan do that? Can we rebuke Satan? Satan, I rebuke this fish in the name of Jesus. I bind it. No, the Lord arranged it. The Lord arranged for a big fish to swallow Jonah. He ends up in the belly of a giant fish. And that was God? Wow. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes when we're running away from what God's called us to do, we end up in a dark place, you know, sometimes that's God. So, you know, let's just think about this. Is this really working? And for a lot of us, we use insecure. Well, I'm just insecure. I'm afraid. I don't want to put myself out there. And then you end up in a really dark place because you're not living what God designed you to live. God didn't design you to play small. He didn't design you to sleepwalk through life or to run away from the great assignment he has for you. So 3 days, three nights, Jonah's inside the fish. And who was in on that? The Lord. The Lord arranged it. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. What does he tell him now? Get up. Get up and go. Is anybody sensing a trend here? Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. God has given you a message. Out of your life experience, we comfort others out of the comfort we ourselves have received. I'm going to stop and pray right now. So God, I know that your command to every one of your children is to get up and go and deliver the message that you have given them. And that may look like teaching Sunday school. That may look like writing a book, writing a song, creating art, launching a website, launching an itinerant ministry. I don't know. It may look like going and working in a refugee camp. It might look like a mission trip. It might look like walking across the street to help a homeless person. I don't know what it looks like. But I know that your people are just sleepwalking through life until that moment when they say yes to your command to get up, go deliver the message. Get up, go deliver the message. Get up, go deliver the message. And God, I'm asking you right now to begin to give great clarity to each one. What is the message that God has given you? What is the core message that God has given you? And in what way is it time for you to get up and go? And is it also time for you to acknowledge that trying to escape the call of God on your life isn't working. And you have ended up in a dark place. And can't see the way forward. And you're sleepwalking. God wants you to awake to your destiny now. And I speak from spirit to spirit. From spirit to spirit. Awake, O sleeper. Arise from your slumber. Arise to your destiny and to your greatness. And have the courage to obey the command of God. Because His command to all of us, get up, go, deliver the message I have given you. And then we come to the end of the story. You know, Jonah goes, you know, he goes to Iraq and he preaches reluctantly, doesn't have a great attitude, but he does go through the motions, he does obey. And they do repent, and he's actually not very happy about that because he hates Iraqis. I mean, let's call it ISIS. God sent him to ISIS and told them to repent. He didn't want that. He didn't want them to repent. He wanted them to pay. He wanted God to punish them. And instead, God relented. And then he goes and he sits under a tree and he pitches a pity party and feels sorry for himself. And he asks a bunch of disempowering questions. Disempowering questions. Like, God, why'd you do that? And why aren't you judging them? And why won't you do what I want you to do? And then God sends a little plant and then the plant dies. And Jonah's really depressed about that. To me, see, we get so small when we are either on the mission that God created us for, or we're sitting in our small little world thinking about little things that don't matter at all. And I taught this in another class yesterday, but the weeds are always at the edge of the ditch. So when as soon as you're over in the weeds, dealing with stuff that doesn't matter, little minuscule, insignificant things, you're not far from the ditch. And Jonah's right there. He's into the ditch because what he cares about is this little plant and his, what is comfort, cope, and escape? Does this sound familiar to anybody? What is he doing? Comforting, coping, and escaping in his own small little world. And God even invited him to be part of something larger, a mighty move of God. He didn't want it. He'd rather sit and think about himself. It's sad. And the Lord said, you know, you feel sorry about the plant. You and your own little, there's a great song about that, me and my own little world. Though you did nothing to put it there, it came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Here's an empowering question. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? Should we care about Iraq? Should we care about the Middle East? Should we care about ISIS? Shouldn't we? Do we? Or are we more concerned about, you know, am I more concerned about the fact that I can't get the passwords to work on my keychain on my, you know, $2,000 computer? I'm more concerned about that than I am about the hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people, countless, dying in spiritual darkness. I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm far more focused on, you know, what's going wrong with my little computer in my own little corner of the world than I am with God's heart. And God says, you know what? Live bigger. Live bigger. See the world through my eyes. There are some things we can never escape, even if we want to, and no matter how hard we try. That's the message of Jonah. Because God loved Jonah so much that he was absolutely determined to get through to him and to get through to his heart. God's after your heart, and he's after your character. He wants you to understand what he's doing in the world and in your life. Did you see that he wanted Jonah to feel his heartbeat? He wanted Jonah to say, you know, break my heart. Let my heart be broken for the things that break your heart, God. That's a good kind of heartbreak. And God wants us to be so near to him and be so in tune with his heart and his agenda that we care about the things that he cares about. And we're about the Father's business. I said this the other day. Every day is take your daughter to work day. at God's place of business. Every day is take your son to work day. And God wants us to come to work with him. He wants us to get up, go, deliver the message, and let our heart beat with his. Out of our own little world and our own small concerns, living for something larger. And I know that I'm, in a way, I feel like a voice in the wilderness. And I would say more, but I'm not going to. But you're a child of God, and you're never going to escape God's absolute determination to get your heart to beat in time with his and to hear his heart of compassion for a dying world. Here's some other things. I made a list of things that we can't escape. You can't escape your own body. Let's just get back to basics here. Love it or hate it, you can't escape it. It's the only vehicle you have to travel through life in. So make peace with it. If you need to change it, change it. But hating it isn't going to get you anywhere. That's your body. You wish you were taller. You wish you were shorter. You wish you were a... there's a mesomorph. What's the other one? You wish you had a bit. You wish you had a different body type. Doesn't matter. Take care of your body and move on. You can't escape the lessons God is determined to teach you. You can't, because he'll just, you know, we homeschooled, and the lesson was over when they got it. They just had to keep taking the test over and over. There was no A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You either got it or you didn't. And until you got it, you just had to keep retaking the test. God arranges. Did you notice that throughout the story of Jonah? God keeps arranging lessons until we finally master them. So what lesson is God repeating in your life? Get the lesson. Again, notice. Notice what God is doing. And this is just helpful. You can often determine what lesson God is trying to teach you by looking at the emotions and reactions that are stirred in you in place of the fruit that God is trying to cultivate. So self-hatred, huge, many Christians, self-loathing, hating others. I hate this. I hate that. I hate him. Love unconditionally. God's love for you is not conditioned on anything. He loves you because he loves you. He loves you because he is love. He even loved the ISIS savages over there. God is love, and he wants your life to be marked by love. His perfect love drives out fear. If you're still afraid, if you're still insecure, then you haven't embraced his love. And he's going to keep coming after it. He's going to keep coming after that and challenging you to see, you know what, child, even when you blow it, even when you, I'm not giving up on you. Even when you're sitting under the tree cursing the little plant, I'm still going to come after you and try to teach you and still try to invite you to be part of what I'm doing. Sadness. You continually have circumstances that make you sad. God's trying to teach you joy, a joy that's in spite of circumstances. Chaos? God's trying to cultivate a peace in you that passes understanding. A peace that, again, that doesn't make sense. Anybody can have the peace that makes sense. Well, of course I'm at peace, but no one, everyone's being nice to me. Everything's going great. There's no storms. That's not what God said. God wants you to have the peace that doesn't make sense. That people can look at your life and say, how can you have such peace? Well, because of God. Irritation. This is me right here. Frustration. God, oh boy. I rebuke you, computer. I rebuke you, Satan. God's like, yeah, why don't we develop that peaceable, that patience, that even if you have to spend all day fighting with one problem on your computer, it doesn't change who you are. I'm right there with you, people. I'm right there with you, okay? Patience. Long-suffering. People rude you wherever you go. You offend it all the time. God's trying to cultivate the fruit of kindness. That no matter how people treat you, you can still be kind. Oh boy. Let's all just say ouch. Can we all just say ouch? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Ouch. Tempted to have a short-tempered response. He's trying to cultivate gentleness. Self-indulgent. God is trying to create self-control. If you tend to be self-indulgent, don't be surprised. God's going to constantly, because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because he loves you and has an amazing assignment for your life. Because he wants you to be positioned to get up and go. He's going to keep working on cultivating these fruits in your life and building your inner character. And that's what he's after Jonah. He's just not going to let him off the hook. And it's amazing. God didn't just use Jonah and forget about him, because the task was done. It wasn't about the task. It was about his son. That's why God comes even after the task is done and deals with Jonah as his son. You can't escape the unfairness of life. Life is unfair, but guess what? So is God. God is very unfair. He gives his children an unfair advantage. It's called favor. And I often say nothing releases the favor of God like a godly response to an unfair situation. I mean, think of yourself as a parent. You're sitting at the kitchen table and you look out the window and you're cushy, you're cozy, you're just chilling, having a cup of coffee, whatever you're doing. And you look out the window and you see someone picking on your child and being unfair to your child. Is there anything that would get you up out of that chair and flying out the door any faster? I don't think so. And our Father on his throne, he sees someone being unfair to one of his kids and his child choosing to honor him. He says, those who honor me, I'm going to honor. And God's going to get after it. And someone treats you unfairly and you choose to honor him, no matter what, you better believe God will come and he'll be unfair. He's like, really? You want to be unfair to my kid? Let me show you unfair. let me show you what unfair treatment for my child actually looks like, okay? Because you think you know, but you don't know. You ain't seen nothing yet. And he will take you and he will put you in places and people are like, how on earth did he get there? I know I make people crazy because they look at the things that God does for me and they're like, she spent 3 months living at a 4-star resort on a tropical paradise island. She lived there for 3 months at a resort so spectacular they film episodes of The Bachelor and Bachelorette there. Who does that? God does that. God does that for his children. If we will honor him when we are treated unfairly, then God will say, you know what? I've seen you. I've seen how you've been treated unfairly. Tell you what, this is going to be fun. I'm going to show the world what unfair looks like. If we will trust and obey him, he will give us an unfair advantage called favor. It was unfair of God to ask Jonah to do things he didn't want to do. But it was equally unfair for God to promote Daniel above everybody else in Iraq. Do you want fair or do you want favor? Do you want fair or do you want favor? It was unfair for God to ask Jonah to do that. But it was also unfair for God to take someone with such a crummy attitude and use them for like one of the greatest revivals in the Old Testament. There was a huge revival. All these pagan, violent heathens repented in sackcloth and ashes. You think Billy Graham has had big crusades? Jonah had like the biggest crusade. His ministry was hugely effective. How is that fair? This guy has a crummy attitude. How is it fair? I don't know. God's not about fair. God's about favor. Focus on your obedience. And really, is it even fair? I mean, what God did through Jonah, he certainly didn't have his character perfected yet. It's a really great illustration. Jonah was very much still a work in progress all through that story. Come on now, get the revelation. He didn't get the lesson the first time. I'm not even sure he got it the second time. And we can easily look at him and think, well, how could God use somebody like that? He's running away, crummy attitude. God can use whoever he wants. He's not about fair. He loves his children and he has work to do in the world. And if we'll partner up with him and get up and go, Jonah finally did get up and go. God will astonish us and a watching world what he can do. It's amazing what God will do if you will just get up and go. Imperfect you. Still in process. Still in progress. You haven't arrived. I think the reason God shows us that Jonah still had a pretty crummy attitude even after the great revival is for this very reason. Because it's so tempting to say, well, Jonah had made a lot of mistakes and then he totally got on board with God, was totally perfect and wonderful, and then God used him. Nope, he still had some issues. God was still working on him. So God's not looking for perfection. That's a lie of the enemy. God's not waiting till you've got it all figured out and your character is perfect. But he is looking for you to, get up and go and participate in the process. Just focus on your obedience. Imperfect obedience is better than perfect sitting any day of the week. Also, Jonah's obedience wasn't perfect, but his imperfect obedience sure beats perfect sitting and doing nothing. Hallelujah. So the question is, will we let unfair situations? Jonah thought it was unfair. God, why are you showing your mercy on these people? These people are terrible. They're our enemies. We hate them. Will we let unfair situations harden our hearts and make us angry, resentful, and alone? Or will we allow them to give us God's heart of compassion? That's what God was after. God wanted Jonah to get his heart of compassion for the lost. And Jonah really didn't want it. He was more attached to what was fair and what was just and what was right. And we're the same. I'm the same way. I'm all about justice and fairness and, these are the bad guys and we got to go punish them. I'm just being honest. The ISIS, they're crucifying Christians. They're beheading Christians. They're burning them alive. They're taking Christians as slaves, sex slaves. I want God to drop down fire and kill them all. Send in the Marines, kill them all. I don't know how God sees it. Because I'm not him, but I need to press into his heart and get it. I mean, this book is set in Iraq. A lot of the Old Testament is set in Iran and Iraq. Turkey. Number 4, you can't escape the role that you're playing in the course of events surrounding you. Even those events beyond our direct control are often indirectly connected to our choices. We don't always see it. Jonah was the indirect cause of the storm and the fish and the withered vine. He wasn't the direct cause. He couldn't make any of that happen. But indirectly, he was the cause. He didn't create the storm or send the fish or wither the vine. God arranged all of that. But why? Because of Jonah's actions and attitudes. His actions and attitudes set the wheels in motion. And not always, but a lot of times, you are the indirect cause of almost everything in your life because of your choices and the choices of those you allowed on board the ship of your life. I'm going to read that one again because it's important. 9 times out of 10, the world is not as mysterious as we think it is. You are the indirect cause of almost everything in your life because of your own choices and the choices of those you allowed on board the ship of your life. Maybe those sailors should have asked a few more questions about Jonah before letting him sail with them. Maybe you should have found out a little bit more about that man before you married him. Maybe you should have found out a little bit more about that company before you took the job offer. Maybe you should have found out a little bit more about that business before you joined it. Maybe you should have found out a little bit more about those kids that your teenager was hanging out with and that house that you were allowing, because it was convenient, you know, oh, sure, kids, you can go play there. Maybe you should have found out a little bit more about it before you set sail with those people. Come on now. I know. We're not loving this. Let's move on. Number five, you can't escape your own attitude. You know, wherever you go, there you are. This is huge. Jonah could have looked at the call of God upon his life as a great adventure and a challenge worth rising to, but he chose not to. Listen to me. Jonah and Daniel both ended up in Iraq. Whose situation was far worse? Who had a worse circumstance? Because we do this, and I'm the same. It's my circumstances. You want to know why I'm in a bad mood? Do you want to know why I have a crummy attitude? Do you know why I want to just strangle everybody who gets within a mile of me? It's because of these. It's because of where I'm at right now. It's the economy. Made me crazy. 2008. Did anybody? I know a couple people. Almost everybody lost a ton. Jonah and Daniel both ended up in Iraq. But Daniel's circumstances were far worse. Come on. Jonah was sent for a voluntary short visit to Iraq. He went to Iraq to do a crusade that was tremendously successful. A short crusade. He was only there. How long was he there? A couple weeks at the most? Daniel was dragged away in chains against his will with no hope of escape. And God didn't tell him up front, I'm sending you on an assignment. As far as we know. He was going to live and to die as a slave in Iraq. Who had it worse? Whose circumstance? Come on. Whose circumstances were worse? Let's get the revelation. And I'm preaching to myself today. Because we tell ourselves that if God would just fix our situation, we rebuke the devil, take your hands off my finances, and I see, you know, come on. If only God would just set up my life, my circumstances, just the way I want them, and make everything go my way, then I would just be the model Christian. I would be filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I mean, I would be Mother Teresa and Heidi Baker all rolled into one. I would just be so wonderful if God would just make my circumstances filled with love, joy, peace. If my circumstances were so filled with love, joy, peace, patience, then I am sure would reflect my circumstances. And it's not true. It's not true. It seems true. It seems like it would be true. I wish it was true. But anyone who's ever been on a cruise knows it's not. Because there you are on a cruise ship with people catering to your every whim, and people are miserable and still complaining. It's not the circumstances. Daniel had it 1,000 times worse than Jonah. Jonah was just passing through with a message, then going back to his life. That's it. But Daniel had a great attitude. And as a result, he made a great life for himself. As far as we know, Jonah, crummy attitude. Daniel and Jonah are all the proof we need that it's not about our circumstances. It's about our attitude. It's about our fruit. It's about our fruit. I think it's insignificant that Jonah had the withering vine. No fruit. Didn't even have a leaf anymore. No fruit. And yet Daniel was so fruitful in a far more trying circumstance. We can't escape the big decision. We get to choose, and we choose every hour of the day. We can choose to create a great life as Daniel did, no matter the circumstances. Or we can sit and be miserable, feeling sorry for ourselves, like Jonah. But let's be intentional and let's be honest. It's not our circumstances. It's not. It's us. See, we think escaping is going to make us happy. But it's a lie. Jonah was the king of escaping. That's all he tried to do was escape at every turn. Comfort, cope, and escape. That was the name of the game for Jonah. Comfort, cope, and escape. Did it make him happy? No. Daniel did the opposite. He didn't even try to escape slavery. He accepted the challenge and lived a life that was all about honoring and glorifying God. It's your life. Are you who you want to be? Joy is found in living, loving, serving. Joy is found in living, loving, serving. It's found in making the most of our lives and of the opportunities set before us and really just cooperating with God. Jonah tried to escape, was miserable. Daniel stepped up, lived his life to the fullest. In all evidence, he was a happy, joyful life, filled with meaning and purpose, all for the glory of God. And Jonah's life stands forever as a warning, and Daniel's life stands forever as an inspiration. And all of our lives are one or the other. Is our life a warning, or is it an inspiration? Is your life a warning, or is your life an inspiration? And you can decide that right now, but it's unescapable. You can't escape this decision. And I'm asking you, and God is asking you to make it right now. You can decide right now, right this very instant, from this day forward, will my life become an inspiration? And really, the worse the mess, the more inspiring. Everybody loves a comeback story. And I said, this year is a comeback year. It's a comeback year. People love a comeback story. Why do we love Rocky? Yeah, because it's a comeback story. So if you've been in the ditch, you've been in a dark place, wherever you've been, whatever choices you've made, your life has been a warning for 50 years. Then you know, that's even better. That's even better. Because it's a bigger comeback story. Do you want your life to be a warning or an inspiration? You can't escape that decision. You can't escape that decision. And only you can make it. And I want you to make it now. Here's a challenge question. Is spending a day with you like spending a day with Daniel or Jonah? Where was Daniel? Praying, worshiping, serving, staring down lions, adventures with God, promotion, favor. Where was Jonah? Well, other than the revival, pretty much in the wrong place. One time you would have caught him doing something right. Right? The preaching, going through the streets preaching, that was good. He got that part right. Go Jonah. He gets a book in the Bible. Yeah, but for the most part, you'd find him, you know, bemoaning his fate, running away, trying to escape, sitting under a leaf. Interesting. Now, here's the key takeaway. And I think you've all got it. I feel like you've got it. Daniel took an awful situation and turned it into an amazing opportunity. Jonah took an amazing opportunity and turned it into an awful situation. Let's say it again. Daniel took an awful situation and turned it into an amazing opportunity. How? With a great godly attitude. Jonah took an amazing opportunity and turned it into an awful situation. Are you a Daniel or a Jonah? That's the big, unescapable decision. Let me pray for you. Father, we desire not only to make this our best year ever, but to really make it the turning point. This is the moment that your life is already an inspiration. Your life is already an inspiration. You're already an example, and people are watching. You're already being transformed This is already happening. You're already in the midst of your comeback. And some of you, you've lived a great life. Maybe you're raised in a Christian home and you've been an example all along. Praise God. You know, bump it up, take it to the next level. Get up and go. If that's you, get up and go to a new place. 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 If that's you, come on now, be honest. No false modesty is the sin of pride, because it's not about you. If you've lived a blessed life, that is the favor of God on you and on maybe on your family for generations. I'm talking to somebody now. Get up and go to a new place. Get up and go to a new place. And take the message that God gives you to that new place. For those of you that up until now, your life has been a warning, it's time for you to get up and go to your knees and find out what comeback message, what new story does God want to write in your life? And decide right now, this is when the movie turns. We've got the woe is me. We've got all the mistakes. We've got that part of the plot. That's all taken care of. Maybe we can shorten it down to a half hour in the final movie production. But this is the turning point. This is where my comeback begins. And you've got to get up and go and begin just living in a new way right where you are. Don't run away. You need to get up and begin living in a new way right where you are. And allowing God to really show you the story, the new story that he's writing. So in either case, you know what? It's all good, because God loves you and he's for you. Whether you've been an inspiration or a warning up until now, God is for you. He's brought you here. And he's showing you some things. Because he's given up on you? No, exactly the opposite. Because he's not even begun. He's not even begun to do what he's planning in your life to astonish a watching world. So God, I just pray for every person right now, wherever they are. And I know some people are crying right now. Those are good tears. Those are cleansing tears. This is your day. This is the day of decision right now. This is it. Do you want your life to continue to be a warning to people? Okay, so that's how not to do it. That's how not to live the Christian life. Even though you've done some good things. That's how not to show up. That's the attitude that's going to end you sitting under a leaf somewhere. Or is your life, are you ready for your life to become an inspiration? And those of you who are already living an inspiring life, God's calling you. It's time. Let's get up and go. And maybe you need to go to the Middle East. Somebody needs to go to the Middle East. Somebody needs to go and preach. Maybe if you've had a life of blessing upon blessing, favor upon favor, maybe you're the one to get up and go. God will speak. God will speak. God will speak. Thank you, God, for this privilege of speaking to your children. And I pray that the message came through again like a clarion call, that it came through loud and clear. This is the moment, not tomorrow, not next week. Now is the appointed hour. Now is the year of God's favor. Now the decision is before you, this very moment, to decide how you want to live. Daniel got up and said, you know what? I got to change what I'm eating. That's it. I see. I'm going to take this awful situation. I'm going to make an amazing opportunity. And I'm going to start by taking good care of myself. Maybe some of you need to start there. I don't know. God knows. Holy Spirit, do what you do best. Love you so much. Amen. I'm going to end the recording and get your feedback. I'm going to hop on over here. You can raise your hand and be sure your microphone is green. If you raise your hand, be sure your microphone is green. Okay, I'm going to hop on over. Raise your hand and turn on your microphone so I can hear you, your reactions. Looking. Well, pray about it. We want to hear some testimonies. Let me hop down. You can also type your comments into the question box if you'd rather to have me share. I think somebody needs to raise their hand, but we'll let the Holy Spirit do that. Aleda says, I now believe in my vision. I didn't before. I didn't believe I was, because I was bound by so much fear and doubt, but now she's going after it. Somebody's still saying, I still don't know what my purpose is, still looking for it. Anne-Marie gave us a Hebrew word, kadima, means come on, let's go. And that this is so confirmation for me. It's time for me to get up and go, someone says. Sandra says, what a confirming message. My word for 2016 is go. I thought it a strange word since I already travel. Then something you said totally resonated with me. You are thinking too small. Funny because I didn't realize I was. Last year, all types of spiritual warfare started. I'll be on my face later today after this call asking God where it is that he wants me to go. Mm-hmm. This is good. Blessings to you, Donna, for delivering. Oh, was this a hard message? A hard message today, but one that was just what I needed to hear. Cool. Wonderful. Somebody says, God has been giving me the same lessons and I failed each time until today. I can recognize the lessons and what I am to learn, and I am determined to pass this test. Amen. Here's somebody. Somebody says, Donna, thank you. Just today, I became overwhelmed with life all of a sudden. Things came from every direction. My plan was to rebuke the devil, throw some people out of my life, leave my job, and leave town. You read my book. I know those words were for me. Thank you again. This is perfect. I will not run. I will get up and go and let my Father do in me what needs to be done. Pride, get out of here. I absolutely love you and the work that you do. That is so funny. This is hilarious. Pastor James said, the fair is a place where you buy cotton candy and pigs win ribbons. Judy said, this was a powerful teaching. Judy said she loved the comparison between Jonah and Daniel. Another says, my goals are changing as I listen to what God has placed on my heart and with my desires to be obedient. In order to make this my best year ever and have new beginnings, I need to rededicate my life to God. Let me see if anybody found the courage to raise their hand. Let me hop on up here and see if anybody wants to jump in. Okay, here we go. Angela, you need to make sure your microphone's green. Your microphone has to be green, not gray. Green, not gray, or I won't be able to hear you. Okay. Can't hear that one. Christine, make sure your microphone is green. Go ahead. Christine, we can hear you. Christine, we're hearing you. Okay, let me try another. Darlene?
Hi.
We can hear you. Go.
Do want to make my life an inspiration. And Donna, thank you so much. You did come through loud and clear. I have been, just last week, I had told someone that I wanted to facilitate this class that I'm taking and then facilitate it. And I said I would really like for couples to come, but that doesn't seem too possible. Well, last week, or early this week, I guess, there are three couples coming to the class that I'm going to do on the 30th, and as well as several women are coming. I am so grateful to you and to God for what he's doing in my life right now. Thank you so much.
Beautiful.
My life is an inspiration.
Amen. Amen. I love it. I love it. It looks like maybe so. Thank you for your courage to raise your hand and speak out. I, as a teacher, appreciate it. You're a teacher, so you know. Anybody else want to jump out and share what God is doing through or what God spoke to you today? I'm just going through to see if anybody, and you know, you don't have to. You don't have to. That's fine. Jump down. This has ministered to me in so many ways. As you were talking about sleepwalking, I knew you were talking to me. And the Lord reminded me of scripture in Luke about when Peter and those with him were heavy in sleep. But when they were fully awake, they saw his glory. So awaken me, Lord, so that I can see your glory and go out with the message you have given me. I don't want to be a runner anymore starting now. I'm an inspiration, taking an awful situation and turning it into an amazing opportunity. Yeah, that's why they make movies about people. Somebody else says, hey, you're talking to me. Change your attitude, change your life. Yeah, that's good, Lynn. Today was so amazing, but painful. Ouchaloo-yah. Ouchaloo-yah, says Jesse. I didn't think my before was bad enough or that my now is good enough. False modesty. Preach it. This past weekend, I had the opportunity to meet an audacious dreamer, and God is taking me on a journey to joy. Amen. Your attitude determines how you live, how you spend your money, your education, your weight, and your whole life. Yeah, it's attitude. And Chuck Swindoll has that famous quote about attitude. It's somewhere in one of my books. I share that quote. Your attitude is everything. Another says, God is disciplining me because he loves me. Yeah. Yeah, he disciplines those he loves. The Bible tells us that. It's a powerful teaching. I'm getting back God's compassion for all people, especially my family. Another admits, I've been running. I've heard all my life that we have to learn our lessons before God can graduate us to the next level. Yeah. I want my life to be smooth sailing. And when it isn't, I didn't understand why. It can't be. If people would just straighten up and fly right, it's those other people. Yeah, good one. Today's teaching really hit home to show me some of my patterns. Yikes. The Holy Spirit spoke to me, says Denise. And she says, I'm a woman on the move. And I hope he's saying that to you, that you're a woman on the move. Okay, let me see if anybody has any comments. Hands raised. Anybody? I tried her. She's not there. Okay, looks like we don't have anybody stepping up. So we love you guys. I hope this helped. We'll see you on the Facebook group. Love you.